This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. As of this morning, August 17th, more than 1,400 people are dead, another 6,000 are injured, after a magnitude 7.2 earthquake in Haiti last weekend. The island nation sits at the intersection of two tectonic plates that make the Earth's crust, making it extremely vulnerable to major quakes. Let's listen to an excerpt from a story filed by NPR's Jason Beaubien on Monday.
So, you know, as you move around Lakai, there seem to be three situations. You've got homes and businesses that look like they're just fine. Then you've got buildings that are clearly damaged and people are sort of clearing the rubble. And then you've got houses that are just completely collapsed, that have fallen into heaps of cinder blocks and splintered wooden beams. People are absolutely terrified, and people are really terrified to stay inside their homes. There have been a lot of aftershocks, some powerful ones, and you've got a lot of people who are actually sleeping outside. People have been sleeping in tents on their roofs. Other people have got mattresses and sleeping bags that are sort of laid out on top of the rubble in some places.
Then, as if that wasn't enough, yesterday, Tropical Depression Grace drenched Haiti with up to 15 inches of rain. And the country is, of course, still reeling from the assassination of its president, Jovenel Moise, on July 7th. Illinois has deep ties to Haiti. That's why we're talking about this today. The city of Chicago was founded by a Haitian native, Jean-Baptiste Pont du Sable, in the 1780s. And according to the U.S. Census, nearly 10,000 Haitian Americans call Illinois home. Back in 1991, Marjorie Vincent, a native of Oak Park, was the first Haitian American to be crowned Miss America. And the current Illinois Attorney General, Kwame Raoul, was born in Chicago to Haitian immigrant parents. There are a lot of aid groups focusing on helping Haiti, which suffered greatly in 2010 when an earthquake killed 200,000 people. One of those groups is called Hope for Haitians. It's based in Rockford. It's built 16 villages in 20 years, and we're joined now by its executive director, Chris Weigert. Chris, welcome to the 21st.
Glad to be here, Brian.
Listeners, you can always join our conversation at 800-222-9455, especially if you happen to have any connections to Haiti yourself, family ties maybe, you're an immigrant yourself. Join our conversation, 800-222-9455 is the number, 800-222-9455. So, Chris, can you just begin by telling us about how Hope for Haitians connects Northern Illinois with Haiti?
Certainly. Hope for Haitians was founded 20 years ago when an individual from our community in Rockford went on a mission trip to Haiti. He and his wife experienced some of the most desperate poverty they'd ever encountered. And when they returned home, they decided they had to do something. They gathered some friends. They started to do some fundraising to address issues. And that's what gave birth to Hope for Haitians. And so for 20 years, we've continued to do that mission of taking some of the poorest communities that we encounter and working on helping them establish a sustainable future.
So what does that look like on the ground? What sort of projects does that involve?
Well, to start with, we're talking about people who basically may have nothing. They're living, most often when we begin our work with them, they're living in a home that may be constructed of sticks and mud with salvaged tin roof, perhaps. And it's incredibly susceptible to all types of weather. They often talk about how they'll be standing anytime there's a storm because the water just kind of runs through and leaks through. So one of the first things that we do is we begin with housing. We construct cinder block homes, two-bedroom homes that are, we think of a two-bedroom home, and we're thinking a lot more square footage as you talk about it in the Illinois area. But down there, we're talking about maybe the size of a two-car garage, and not one with the extended area for the workbench. So we construct a sturdy home for them, and that's kind of one of the launch pads that we begin the sustainability. Another critical component that happens almost exactly at the same time is we ensure that there's fresh potable water available, because water is such a vector for disease, infection, sickness. So those are the first two issues we take on. But we continue from there.
So I understand Hope for Haitians also works with doctors on the ground. And one, if I'm saying this right, Dr. Clientus Jean Jr. Earlier this morning, Dr. Jean left a voicemail about what the earthquake felt like. Let's take a listen.
Hello, good morning. My name is Dr. Junior Jean. I'm an Haitian physician living in Haiti. I could feel how strong was the earthquake. It's really a nightmare for us and a very bad sensation for those who experienced the January 12, 2010 earthquake in Port-au-Prince. Now I'm flying to Jeremy, one of the affected cities, to bring medical and hygienic supplies. We are concerned that our village of Côte d'Ivoire is also affected, but have not heard anything about it. As I'm flying to that area, I will try to see if I know somebody or somebody that might have a contact there, so we would know what's happening, how we can help. It's really bad there, and the victim need your help. Help somebody today, and somebody else will help you tomorrow.
So that was Dr. Junior Jean, as we heard. He's moving around Haiti today, affiliated with a Rockford-based Hope for Haitians. Chris Weikert is director of that group. Let me bring you back into the conversation. You talked with Dr. Jean a lot more last night. What did he tell you he's doing today?
Well, actually, we talked this morning as well. So Dr. Jean is an incredibly valuable partner for us in our work down there. We talked today a lot about the trip that is going to be taken today. He and the 19 physicians and nurses that are basically ferrying supplies that they've obtained in North Haiti and bringing that down to provide immediate medical aid in the South area. As you heard in his quote, he's also trying to see if he can establish contact with the first village that we built. That's probably about 25 miles from the epicenter. We've been unable to establish contact with anyone there yet and have some serious concerns about their welfare. So a lot of what we talked about was just the immense need that they have. He did point out that the Ministry of Health has indicated that there are international groups that are bringing in doctors and other rescue workers. But for now, we have a lot of Haitians taking care of each other. It might be neighbors. It might be those internal in the country coming from wherever they are to lend aid.
So I think people will remember, you know, domestic crises like this, Hurricane Katrina, things like that. It's pretty difficult to get supplies, medical supplies, food, water, that sort of thing in. What are some of the challenges, though, that are unique to distributing, say, medical supplies in Haiti?
One of the biggest challenges really in recent months had been the prevalence of gang violence and roadblocks that basically blocked commerce quite often. And so relief convoys or movement of goods necessary didn't work the way it should in a free functioning country. So that's one of the big difficulties. The other simply is the limitation. It's not like many of these things are internally produced. So the reliance on external sources is one of the real challenges in terms of aid. In the U.S., as you mentioned, if there's a disaster, we manufacture and we make so many of those things that are needed that we can sort of ramp up production and take care of it. That internal capacity isn't there at this point to really take care of their internal needs. And so they're dependent a lot on external sources. And when a disaster comes that strains the resources on the ground, maybe doubles or triples the need and in a particular time, their basic stockpile depletes very quickly. So one of our most urgent efforts right now is assisting them, obtaining them from the most proximate source. In a lot of cases, especially for this one, it's gonna mean bringing things in from the Dominican Republic, which shares the island of Hispaniola with them.
Listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about Illinois' ties to Haiti in the aftermath of the earthquake that's so far killed at least 1,400 people there. We're speaking with Chris Weikert, executive director of Rockford-based Hope for Haitians. In a moment, we'll share how you can help the people there. But first, Chris, your organization built villages after that earthquake I mentioned earlier in 2010. That one killed 200,000 people. What sort of changes did you make after that quake? And what do the residents say of those villages? Do you have a sense of how they've held up since then?
Brian, that's actually a great question. One of the most important things in any relief or charitable organization is to have the humility to learn, to have that capacity to adapt when you get new information. And the earthquake back in 2010 was a learning experience. We discovered that some construction materials were not sufficient to withstand that kind of an impact. And so we reoriented the way that we constructed. We included greater reinforcement. We beefed up the foundations because honestly, it's the ground movement that causes the destruction of the property. And so we made foundations that in, not really float, but are much more stable when the ground moves. And so we revamped the quality of construction that we're doing. Just because it's charity, it doesn't mean that we do low quality work. We want to do excellent work so that we set them on a long-term future. And your follow-up question there, where you asked about how have we seen that affected, one of the great things we can report is that while we're still uncertain about what happened in our first village, we know that the more recent villages that we built, the reports that are coming back are showing that we had not incurred any damage in those homes that were built after we revised our processes in 2010. Now, we may encounter something incidentally as we go, because as you know, after something of this nature, information can be incomplete. But we did make a revision. I think it's an important thing to do as an organization, as a charity, and even as an individual to learn from each thing we do so we make a better effort the next time.
All right, let's now focus on ways to help. You say that donations, I guess monetary donations, go a lot further than just donating canned goods or supplies, things like that, and trying to ship them. Can you talk about why that is?
Yeah, I really think one of the things about the American people is we're incredibly generous people. And our first instinct when we hear that there's injuries, we want to go to our first aid kit and take the stuff out and bring it to the area. The challenge we have is that, we're 1,000 miles plus away from that area. And to get things efficiently to Haiti, we're talking about container shipping. So we're talking about delays of weeks. And that's one of the reasons why monetary contributions are most essential in the early phase of responding to a disaster. There's really two distinct phases. Right at the beginning, it's emergency relief. Following that, that's work on recovery. So the things that are most urgently needed immediately are best obtained by having one of the most flexible mediums possible, which is cash on hand that we can direct to the purchase of supplies as close to the source as possible. Later on, we may discover that we have a village of 50 homes that needs to be completely rebuilt. That's a longer term project. And we'd welcome people's involvement at that point as well.
Yeah, as with any charity, I mean, there are always questions about making sure that the funds are going to the right place. How does your organization ensure that, the donations are actually going to help Haitians?
Brian, you actually touch on one of the things that happened following the earthquake. There were billions poured into the country. And there were a lot of questions following that about whether they were used most effectively. One of the things about being a smaller local charity is the fact that there's a greater accountability. And most of our donors have relationships to individuals within the organization or on the board, or have been with us for a good number of years. And we're very transparent and accessible to them. There's no levels of bureaucracy. Our bureaucracy is 1.5 people deep. There's myself and a part-time person, because the work we do, we employ Haitians in Haiti to do it. And so in terms of accountability, we have a couple things in play. We have a low level of bureaucracy, so we're not using a lot of overhead. The other thing is that we have a very active, responsible board. This board will visit Haiti once to twice a year to do a check on all things that have been promised to be executed and check to see that they're done. We also get direct backed receipts. For example, all the medical supplies that are going to be purchased and sent on, I'll be getting receipts back out of that. So we do a real closed loop of accounting to see that the funds were directed as they were intended and that the results that were promised are accomplished.
So just a couple of minutes remaining. Can you tell us just a little bit about how your organization raises money? I understand it's faith-based.
We actually, it's not faith-based in a formal set, but it is truly grounded in people of faith who have founded the organization. Hmm. We have a strong connection to religious communities, particularly in the Catholic Church around the period of Lent, when almsgiving is a natural part of their expression of faith. But we also work with people from all walks of life and involve them in the program. And one of the things that's, I guess I'd say, the reason I said we weren't faith-based is because we don't have a formal proselytization. You know, we're not doing evangelization in this. We're letting the work of charity and generosity speak on its own behalf. Hmm. So we do have a strong connection with faith communities, and we invite and welcome all denominations and all practices to be part of that, because I think charity and the concern for the poor is woven deeply into every form of religious practice.
Chris Weikert is director of Hope for Haitians, an aid group based in Rockford. If you want to learn more, we'll have a link to their organization at our website, 21stshow.org, so you can figure out how, if you want to pitch in to help. Chris, thank you so much for joining us and connecting us also with Dr. Jean today on the 21st.
I appreciate the opportunity to speak for the people of Haiti.
More to come after a short break. You're listening to the 21st. Stay with us.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. For 150 years, Busey has helped business owners and entrepreneurs navigate financial decisions, achieve long-term goals, and realize dreams of success. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.